blessings. And when God brings His light, you know, darkness cannot stand the light. When the light comes in, darkness scatters and darkness flees. Have you ever seen darkness beat the light? It doesn't happen. The minute you flick that switch, boom, the light is in the room. And when God breaks in on people's lives, guys, it's not going to sometimes be the soft little slow thing. Sometimes He does things like that. Sometimes He moves comfortably and in a way that just kind of we welcome Him slowly in a sense. And we're sensitive to what He's wanting to do. But on that day at Pentecost, it says suddenly. And it says tongues of fire appeared and a mighty wind filled the place where they were. God is a mighty God, folk. He's an all-consuming fire. I think, many times people say this, when we go into a church, oh, we felt such peace. And that's great. I hear many people say they like to go to cathedrals, or they like to go to chapels, and they like to just sit there because they sense such peace. And God is peace. But God's also very powerful. And God is also sometimes startlingly lacquer. And can just destroy anything of the enemy in a minute. Hello? There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. It's wonderful what God has been doing among us here this morning. I have invited Hilton to preach this morning. Sharissa and I were away on a week of training in Maritzburg. Already a few people have said, did you enjoy your holiday? I tell you, it's very lucky to enjoy the things that God has done. We were hosted so well. I mean, honestly, it was like a holiday in some senses. But we trained every single day. So from when we arrived there, Sunday night, there was a worship conference they wanted us to be at. So we went along to that. And every day, Monday to Friday, 8 to 4, we had training on everything from preaching to finances to administration in church to life groups to kids ministry to youth, every area. And every night we had something on as well, except for Thursday night. We had a bit of a breather. But for us as a whole family, we went down. I wanted Sharissa just to share a little bit of what she experienced of it, but she's not in the meeting right now. But we had a fantastic time, folk. I am so excited for what Jesus wants to do on the earth. And He wants to use every single one of us. Chris going to Burundi and Eastern Congo on Wednesday. Guys, let's pray for Chris. Let's trust. We laid hands on him last week. Chris, you're going to have an amazing time. And so remember Chris and remember Tracy. While his pregnant wife is at home, he's out there. She's going to be praying. He's going to be praying. So Lord, help me. But he's going to be ministering to people in Burundi where they've just had trouble. A good time for the gospel to go forth is when you just had trouble. You're going as a time in season for such a time as this, Chris. Watch what happens. The words that come to you are going to be from God. As you share them with your lips, you're going to see people in Burundi giving their hearts to Jesus. And in the Eastern Congo as well. Incredible. Hilton, great pleasure to have you preach. I want to pray for you. Thank you, worship team. Wow. Father God, I want to thank you so much for your anointing upon Hilton, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for the plans and purposes that you have for him, for a man who loves you, a man who has been changed by you in mighty and amazing ways, and a man who hungers for more. Mm-hmm. Lord, I want to thank you, Father God, for him and his family that represent you so well. Lord, I ask you for your kingdom increase, the very things he's preaching about today. I thank you that we've seen this in his life, but I thank you that we would see even more of it in every one of us. As we trust you for your glorious kingdom, Lord, let your anointing flow. Let Jesus be exalted, our Savior. And we just thank you, Lord, for such encouragement in your word this morning. In Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Morning, everybody. I'm just going to quickly grab a stand up here. Good to come out of such an incredible session of worship. And the Lord teaches us to also train our minds, right? So it would be beautiful to spend an entire morning in worship, but the Lord also wants us to make sure that our minds are filled with the right stuff, and the right stuff is the Word of God. Amen? Good. If you're joining us for the first time today, welcome to The Crossing. I know that Alan from The Lighthouse has joined us. Welcome, buddy. Good to have you back here with us. Anybody else joining us for the first time today? No? Just Alan. Fantastic. Welcome. Welcome to The Crossing Church. Our deacon team are going to give you a quick info leaflet that we had asked just to fill out your details and then join the eldership team afterwards in our VIP corner. And just to give you context, visitors, in terms of where we as a church, we embarked just over 3 weeks ago onto a brand new teaching series on the parables of Jesus. And we've heard some people describe the parables as earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And these teachings by Jesus in almost a storytelling format, the great secrets of the kingdom, if you like, the mysteries of our current and end days are revealed to us through these stories. So we aptly named the series Truth Versus Fiction. We've been seeing that, as strange as it may appear, that Jesus would choose to almost hide the secrets of the kingdom in parables. The fact is that the truth is only hidden to those who choose to remain deaf and blind to God's word. So in our second week, we covered the parable of the sower. Brad unpacked where revelation was brought that the sower actually represented Jesus, teaching the word of the kingdom. And conversely, we looked at the interpretation of the sower signifying disciples as well, which was incredible. We learned as disciples we need to be receivers as well as good sowers of the word of the kingdom, being good soil that hears, understands, and puts into practice the word of the kingdom. And being a people that are productive with the Word of God, being alive with the Word of God, being engaged in the Word of God. So last week also Oliver unpacked the parable where Jesus tells us the kingdom is like a mustard seed. We looked at the aspect of, as it's almost as small as the little mustard seed is, that we should not despise the start of small beginnings. We were encouraged that even though we may start out with small faith in areas in our lives, even in our faith in Jesus, don't despise that. Allow the Lord to grow that into something big and wonderful. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it reminded us to seek first the kingdom of heaven. We are to seek everything in Jesus. We are to seek his righteousness and his kingdom. So to see the kingdom, or to see Jesus through new eyes, into the kingdom. John 3, verse 5, into the kingdom, experience Jesus, experience the kingdom. So just wonderful things coming out of this teaching series. Are we enjoying it? Are we feeling encouraged by it, equipped by it? I certainly am. We've had some interesting discussions at our life group times together. Craig Avon Connect, which I asked to seat on the front left-hand row there. So we're well represented this morning, scattered all over. They were worried that I was going to kind of call them out on a couple of things. So we've been thoroughly enjoying the Truth Versus Fiction series, and just incredible the power of God. So we also last week, one of the other analogies that I love that Oliver brought that I just want to quickly remind us of is the birds of the air, which represented the nations of the world. That was just amazing, as well as you and I, obviously. As they receive the seed, or Jesus, by faith and make him king, they receive sustenance, they receive joy, they receive peace, they receive God's favor, God's prosperity. So incredible teachings from last week. Guys, if you weren't here, get hold of the recording. And make sure that you're working through that in your homes. Let's pray, guys, if you don't mind. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, of being in your house this morning, Lord, of being able to share the gospel with friends, Lord, to share the gospel with fellow believers, Lord. Thank you, Father, that just as I stand here now, Lord, that you move every part of me out of the way, Father, just to reveal more of you, Lord. Father, I ask that your spirit is with me as I unpack your word this morning, Lord. And just as you've asked us in your word to come to you as children, Lord, our hearts this morning are like that of a child, Lord, open, receptive. And Father, we ask that you just massage your word into our hearts, massage your kingdom into our heart, Lord. We ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Good. So let's read together if you like. Matthew 13, verse 33. I'm going to be reading from a couple of translations this morning, but kicking off with the NIV. So verse 33, if you are there. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds, which is about 27 kilograms. I looked that up. No, I'm joking. It's right here in my translation. Picked up, mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So interesting choice of words there, guys. Worked all through. We're going to be touching and looking at that a little later. The Living Bible translation uses the words, until it permeates every part of the dough. Incredible word, right? Permeates. In the King James Version, we read, another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which obviously in today's terms we are familiar with the phrase yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, so the whole was leavened. Some fascinating words there. So normally, we would see translations saying mixed into, but this translation then puts emphasis on the mixer and the mixing process, which is interesting to just see how guys have interpreted this, which is also something that we're going to unpack a little bit later. Jesus was also putting emphasis on the hiddenness of the leaven, which I found quite interesting within the flour. And it's transforming of the whole, but from within. Interesting concept. So without having to be too highfalutin, if you like, if you agree, of all the parables, if you know your parables, the parable of the yeast is quite literal. It's almost the simplest of all the parables that we're going to unpack in the series. It's a snapshot of a real day-to-day life that the crowd that Jesus was speaking to would have clearly understood. There's nothing much about the parable to the Jews that he was speaking to that was complicated. All right? And a lot of commentaries can go a little bit further than the literal translation of this parable by putting a lot of weight into the fact that the yeast was hidden, and extending this focus to the yeast, the leaven, representing sin in our lives. And then the full picture becomes one of mixing in even a small amount of sin into a church corrupts the whole church. I get it. I've been through them all, but I honestly don't find in my heart that these interpretations are as convincing and are necessary to focus on when Jesus speaks quite plainly in this specific parable. So additional readings also focus on why it was a woman. Interesting, yes, but I don't know if any of my brothers here can agree. I don't know when last you were standing in the kitchen kneading dough. So who else would it have been? I mean, with respect, you know what I mean? I haven't baked much at all in my life. So yes, in this context, it would have been a woman. It's not going to be some man standing in a little Jewish community kneading dough, right? So let's not unpack that too much. There's no significance, in my opinion, about it being a woman. Right. There's a lot of theological consideration that will expand on this three-sentence parable into almost a 400-page strong thesis, which is great. These are interpretations. This is the Lord speaking to people. But guys, let's be honest about it. Let's not look too closely at Scripture sometimes. Sometimes the Lord is just saying something quite simple to us, and I believe that strongly as I was kind of planning this week, is Jesus speaks plainly in this instance to the audience at hand. He was speaking about something he had obviously seen his mother maybe even doing every morning, baking bread, doing her thing. And he understood that the Jews that he was speaking to would understand this basic analogy in describing what the kingdom was like. As a result of time this morning, I'm not going to discredit any of these revelations. I'm not going to discount them. I just felt led in my heart this week as I prepped for our time together to focus on the main emphasis of the parable, and that is quite simple in that in taking a little bit of yeast, you can create a large amount of dough out of it, quite simple. So it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom. A small amount has a tremendous influence. It's quite straightforward, right? So is that okay with you? Everybody with me? No haters after the meeting that I didn't go into every interpretation and blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to focus on one aspect, right? First, it's important to understand and define the kingdom of heaven, which we can't obviously do because we'd need 12 months and another whole series to do that. You can just ask our Craig Yvonne Life group. We went an hour and a half over our scheduled time. Kids were screaming in trying to understand what the kingdom of heaven was and what the kingdom of God was. But what we do know is Jesus is referring to his domain as the Messiah. Right? Simple. In the current age, the kingdom of heaven is spiritual, existing within the hearts of our believers. If you look at Luke 17, verse 21 in your own time, if you're making notes there. Later, the kingdom will be manifest physically when the Lord Jesus establishes his throne on earth, which we see in the book of Revelations 11, verse 15. So it's quite simple to understand the context of that. It's just in our hearts we want to understand more, which is fine. The Lord asks us for that. So there are many views of the kingdom floating around. And for me, where I've settled with it in my heart is the Bible is quite clear. The guys from Craig Yvonne are laughing. The kingdom of God is the rule or reign of God. In any scenario, whether it be in your heart, whether it be in your home, the kingdom of God is the rule or reign of God. And you apply that to the scenario that you're referencing. Hear me when I say it's not the church or heaven or moral reform or the future realm. It's God's sovereignty in action against all the evil in the world. It came into the world in Christ. It's both present and future. Its arrival, however, was startling. It came as a mystery in an unexpected form through the humble person and work of Jesus Christ, who, as we know, was a suffering servant who defeated sin. We sang this morning, He is risen. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. The kingdom has set us free. You want to know what the kingdom of God is? It's what sets you and I free. It's the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises of redemption and the covenants of God. I mean, if we just look at today, the day of Pentecost, right? As Brad was mentioning in opening this meeting. It's the fulfillment of two promises from God. The first promise is in the Old Testament. Again, just making notes if you can. Joel 2 verse 28, which says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, you and I. And one in the new, where Jesus says, He will send another counselor, the Spirit of Truth. You can have a look at that in John 16 verse 5. So having a basic, and really is just a basic and foundational approach and understanding of what the kingdom of God is, it's easier for us to see why God, or why Jesus in this instance, was comparing yeast to the kingdom of God. So, in the parable of the yeast, we learn several things about the workings of the kingdom in our present day. Each of these lessons stem from the nature of yeast. So let's look at yeast. Looking at the definition of yeast from Wikipedia, the source of all fact and wisdom. Just kidding. This is Wikipedia's definition. An agent that stimulates or precipitates a reaction, development or change. Catalyst, ferment, leavening, yeast. Yeast is a microorganism. They are single-celled fungi. There are about 1,500 different species of yeast. Most reproduce asexually by budding. Some use binary fission to reproduce asexually. A particular species of yeast has been used for a very long time. It is used for baking bread. Another is used as an additive to help the fermentation of alcoholic drinks such as beer, pulsa. It has also been considered to be a model organism for modern cell biology. Other yeast can cause infection within a human body. So what's Jesus trying to say to the Jews that he's talking to? The kingdom of God is like a fungi. Wow, Lord, that's beautiful. Does it come in and infect? Sure, that's beautiful. How? And I can clearly understand or see why certain interpretations have led their thought processes towards the fact that it could be considered a sin. But the frame of reference here in what Jesus was saying in the parable, as I see it, is the yeast size. Nothing to do with how the yeast is made up or how the yeast actually permeates certain parts in a certain negative or positive way. It's microscopic. It's minute. That's the point that the Lord's trying to make. And that only a little of this yeast is kneaded into a dough. So, given the time, yeast will spread throughout the entire dough. In the same way, Jesus' domain started with 12 men in a random corner of Galilee, but has spread throughout the whole world. The gospel makes progress. First, the kingdom of God may have very small beginnings, but it has increased. It will continue to increase. Jesus is using a very common picture of a Hebrew household. And everybody that he was talking to understood that such a small ingredient impacted the whole batch. Yeast is active. It's living. It's microscopic. An organism that, as it grows, converts the adjoining ingredients that it's been thrown into a larger, more sustainable product. Jesus is saying to us as a kingdom, his kingdom, that he is alive. He grows within us. He makes us come alive. He brings improvement. Value and quality are added to us by the kingdom being added to us. When the kingdom is in our lives, we are worth more. We add more. We become more. And we want to do more. The kingdom of God transforms us, makes us come alive. Jesus makes the calling that each of us have Every single one of us have a calling. Makes that calling and that duty within the kingdom of God become more active within us. So we start to see how, wow, Lord, Jesus, you're telling us such a simple thing here. This tiny little thing starts to impact us in such a large and wonderful way. The kingdom of God is being compared to an active ingredient, such as the yeast bolstering us up to proclaim the gospel, so that we can share the good news that Jesus has brought us. For those of you that know me well, know that I can barely cook. I would probably burn water on a stove if I tried. So I had to do some Baker Man research this week, and as I did, I was trying to get into my head a couple of the ingredient type terminologies that people use. And I came across this interesting thing that it said about yeast, was that it can't stand constantly or be positioned in one place for more than a week. So I don't know if anybody bakes here, if that's true. But I came across that in some of my research this week, is that it can't stand constantly or be positioned in one place. Some bakers even rotate its position within their fridge, because its health and viability is at risk if they don't do that. And I start talking to the Lord this week, and he just revealed something in my heart. He says, this is the kingdom of God. I preserve you. I move you. You are in me. I am in with you. He preserves us from many accidents that would be fatal to us. Psalms 91 verse 10. Picking up actually 11, he gives us his angels charge over us to keep us all in our ways. How beautiful. Also, if we look at Caleb's reflection on God's goodness and faithfulness to him, let's read that together if you've got your Bibles with you. Joshua 14, verse 10. Just to really unpack this position of the Lord's within us, he protects us, he positions us so that we don't become stale. Joshua 14, verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord. This is, can you imagine Caleb? This is how he's expressing this in this very moment. But the Lord has kept me alive. I'm telling you, this guy had the same revelation. As he said, these 45 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now see, I am this day 85 years old. It's the kingdom of God that keeps us alive, my friends. The scriptures often remind us of this, that in him we live and move and have our being, that in him is the breath of every living thing and the spirit of all mankind, that Jesus gives it at first and that he taketh away. The moment you add yeast to the batch, to your life, to our homes, instantly, the intended process is underway. Instantly. We know of instant yeast, which is a modern day terminology. Again, looking at a couple of things, I'm quite excited. I'm going to start baking this week. Instant yeast is an instant reaction to the ingredients that it's thrown into. Thus is the kingdom of God always underway. Jesus, the kingdom of God, is already advancing. Like we heard Oliver last week. Sure, Oliver, what a message. Give an incredible, almost historical account of how the church in the kingdom of God has grown from a very, very small beginning. From the 12 disciples to the 120 at the day of Pentecost and so on. This is the yeast, folk. It's moving quickly. It's moving swiftly. And it's never, ever motionless. Never motionless. The kingdom of God is never motionless. Another thing I came across is that bakers will always test proof their yeast before chucking it into the rest of the batch. How incredible is that? They don't want to go through the whole trouble, obviously, of kneading their dough and almost anticipating this beautiful loaf of bread coming out, or for the batch to be thrown and be a dud because of the yeast. So they always test proof their yeast. The idea of proofing yeast originally came about as a way of proving that the yeast was still active. This was obviously back in the day when yeast had a lot shorter lifespan and bakers couldn't always trust. But the concept for me just started to stir my heart a little bit. This is like us. Unless we are actively using, involving, engaging in God's word, allowing His Spirit in, being in the community, being that community to people, there's a possibility that the yeast, that the kingdom of God, starts to have very little impact and becomes dead in our lives. We've got to intentionally mingle the kingdom's yeast. Now we can start phrasing it like that because my mind understands it. We've got to intentionally start mingling this kingdom yeast into our daily lives, which all leads to an improved flavor. It's not like God's going to add something to us that's a negative result. God always gives us the best. So it leads to an improved flavor in our lives. We're going to taste good. And other desirable characteristics. We've got to allow the master mixer, the master baker, if you like, to knead His Spirit into our lives. Knead His glory through our lives. Allow the glory and manifestation of the Lord to be kneaded into our lives. We have to, at least, at the very least, yeast and least, Kitna, okay, have to, we have to let the yeast and living water of life, that living water of life, sit for just a few moments. That's all the Lord says in His Word. Allow the yeast of His life to sit in our hearts every day, just for a moment. And from there, He starts to release the active yeast into the desired areas of our lives and in the lives of others. The active yeast will go to work each day as we allow the kingdom of God to start bubbling from within us and start to form an outward evidence that we have allowed the kingdom of God to work within our hearts. Let's read Matthew 7 verse 20 together. Are we good? Matthew 7 verse 20. Short one. Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. How's that? So you will see the fruit and you will know. As it is in the kingdom, guys. The outward expression, Jesus' glory within us, is proof that the yeast of the kingdom of God is active in our lives. I'll say it again, guys. The outward expression, the fruits, you see it. It's there. Evidence. Jesus' glory within us is proof that the yeast of the kingdom of God is active in our lives. And once you see that, and once you get that, and once we start to experience that, guess what? Others start to see it. The yeast starts to expand into the other dough areas of our lives, into the entire areas of our lives. Give me a bit of creative license here, guys. Come on. We read earlier in the scripture of the mixer, working it all until it permeates every part of the dough. So it's not parts of. It's not like a little bit of the dough this side, little bit this side, little bit this side. The whole dough, everything, the entire lot is worked in, not parts of. What does that say about community? What does that say about a local church? What does that say about a home? You don't isolate the head of the home. You don't isolate the mother in the home. You don't isolate certain peoples within a local church. The whole dough is worked in. The all is worked in. So we read also in Scripture where it's the mingling aspect, the mixing, right? Through every aspect of our life. This is a powerful key, guys. We need to let the kingdom affect us so that we can go and mingle with sinners, tax collectors, just like Jesus did. When I came back to the Lord a couple of years ago, the first thing I didn't do was distance myself from my unsaved friends. Who else was going to touch them? As I had a greater revelation of the Father's heart and His love towards me as His son and who I am in Christ, I wanted the same for my buddy. So I didn't run from my buddy. I ran closer to him as the Lord revealed Himself more to us. No one is able to permeate, to penetrate the world except for us. That's what he's saying in the scripture. We are the yeast. The kingdom is like a yeast. We are the only ones that can permeate within that. If we don't do it, who else is going to? We've got to share the kingdom with the rest of the world, my friends. We've got to be the yeast that the kingdom actively uses to bring the message, to bring hope to people, to bring Jesus to people. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And as Brad would have said, we've got to be in it to win it, guys. If we're not in it to win it, no point. We can't want to win the world. That's not even a closely represented desire of it. Can't want to. We've got to need to do it. We have to need ourselves into position to impact our communities, our lives, and just get into where people are at. Some of you may have come through to my house and had the opportunity of my wife preparing a meal for you. And, well, if you have, you would know that she goes a little all out sometimes, which is great for me. I just have to make sure I jog every second day. Yeah, it's an awesome blessing. The reason why we host in our home, and I'm speaking just on behalf of my home here, is that when we have somebody on our heart, when we have people in our prayers, when we have people that we are really wanting to walk through things with, to be in partnership with, we really just want them to be in our home so that our hearts can be expressed. Sometimes when you're not in someone's home, your heart's not fully expressed. And our intent, obviously, is as we just hosting people, is for them to see an extension of Jesus. We hope. I mean, I don't know if we are. No one's ever walked out of my house and said, sure, I saw Jesus tonight, but I'm hoping. You know, like we pray before anybody arrives at our home, we pray. Lord, may your fellowship be amongst us. May you be seen this evening. May the meal represent you. How? How can a meal represent Jesus? I'll tell you, it's the flavor of the Lord. Through our ministry of hospitality, we honestly aim to give Jesus the glory through hosting people in our home. As I see my wife just borderline extravagantly preparing 6-course meals, she loves it. This is her passion, guys. She's measuring out various aspects of the ingredients. My heart just gets like warm to a high degree. Not only because I'm going to enjoy an incredible meal, I'm a guy, I love food. But it's also just the joy that I know that she's doing this to honor the Lord and for the Lord to be experienced through her meals. And to give him praise for the goodness, give him praise for the blessing, give him praise for how he has permeated within our household. Other part of it is that the household's never perfect. God never called us to be perfect. There's got to be the moments of imperfectness. If we are completely perfect before the Lord, we would also be seated on the right hand of the Father. But we're not. We are imperfect. So when we host, we don't host as though it's some, what's that program called? Nothing to do with food. Mysteria Lane. Some Mysteria Lane kind of family. You've got to be real with people. Food's real. Food's authentic. You can't fake taste. You can't fake that something is good. Either the prawns were good or they weren't good, right? Either the steak was a little bit overdone or it wasn't overdone. It's real. That's what Jesus calls us to be in our homes, is real with people. Have the ingredients in your home be real, be a real representation of what Jesus is. Don't fake it. Nothing worse than faking Jesus. He didn't fake it for us on the cross. So be real, folk. When you have, like with Reza, she's not even here to hear this, shame. Hidden within her gift of hospitality and talent is the yeast of the kingdom, which cannot be tasted in the food, but through it, Jesus gets into the hearts of the people that we host. Host people in your homes. And sometimes you won't see the immediate heart change, or you might not see the immediate impact. But know this, my friends, the yeast of the kingdom is actively at work, even when it's not visible to the naked eye. The kingdom of God is not a quick drive through McDonald's. Not saying KFC. It's not a cheap TV meal. The kingdom of God is not a drive through. It's not a quick TV meal. It's not a quick fix. You can't quick fix something with the kingdom of God. My generation comes from that. Quickly, instantly. Change it. Download. Drive through. Get it quick. How many seconds is it going to download? Have you seen, even for our generation now, when they send out emailers, they tell you how long the reading time is. How awesome is that? They tell you there, this will take you 3 minutes to read. Fantastic, now I know. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not instant like that. It needs to permeate. Sometimes where there's sin and sometimes when there's correction that needs to be brought, there needs to be immediate results of that and an immediate impact of it. But as the Lord's kingdom, as the yeast starts to work its way through our hearts, it works seamlessly within you and I. Sometimes suddenly, sometimes not. But remember, it's always working. Amen. Genesis 18. I check I'm a bit tight on time, so I'm going to just paraphrase you if I can. Abraham was in his tent one day. There he is. And he looked out the door. Sure. Saw three strangers. He went to meet them because strangers were quite uncommon in those days. And anyone passing by, the principle was that you offered them hospitality. So he welcomed them and offered them according to Scripture, Genesis 18, 6-7. Not going to cover that. Three measures of meal baked into bread, which Sarah, his wonderful wife, made in the tent while they were fellowshipping together out under the trees. During their conversations, Abraham noticed, dawned on him, that God himself was visiting with him and accompanied by two angels. Boom! Better make sure the steak is done well. Better make sure we're offering everybody the right things at the table. You're hosting God. How's that? So that was the beginning of the use in the Old Testament of the three measures of meal as a symbol almost, if you like. So very early in the life of the Jewish people, the three measures of meal became almost a picture or a symbol to the people of God sharing the life and the fellowship of God. A meal, friends, please hear my heart. If I can get you to hear anything this morning, is a meal is a beautiful picture of commonality in each other's lives. You pick up each other's commonality. You pick up where you're at. If you want to know where somebody is at in their walk with Jesus, if you want to know where somebody's at in their heart, if you want to know why somebody's suffering, have them in your home for a meal. You'll find out very quickly why they're suffering. It happens right there in the fellowship with one another. In the Bible, it's always a picture of humanity. And as humanity, we are all alike. So just as each grain of cereal or meal is like the other grains, people are alike. And they share in the same quality and nature. And they blend together to make up something valuable. I am not the oatmeal grain of my household. And Reza is not the maize meal of our household. We are one. We are different in our character. We are different in our callings, different in our talents. But we come together as one through the mixing in of each other's fellowship with one another. So when the Old Testament people offered the three measures of meal, they were describing in beautifully picturesque language what was very precious in God's sight. The oneness of God with his family. God with his people. The life they shared with each other under the fatherhood of God. This is a powerful thing. So again, I'm not discounting the various interpretations. There are powerful things that sit within the interpretation. We just don't have the time. You see, friends, as the kingdom of God works through our homes, closing out this point, through our meal times together, through our lives with one another, through the things that happen to us, when things happen to us as a body, we need to know about it. The eldership need to know about it. The leadership team needs to know about it. Jenny Hunter Blair broke her foot. God healed her. People got around, prayed. We have an intercessory team that meets here every Monday morning, praying for Jenny Hunter Blair. What is that? That's the yeast of the kingdom. That's permeating within each other's lives. That's how it goes. And it's not just the sorrow, it's the joy. We heard Nick 2 months ago celebrating new contracts coming in because he honored the Lord. What's that? That's the yeast of the kingdom. That's us celebrating the kingdom. As we start to understand this, guys, it starts to change our perspective from how we used to view the priorities in our lives. The minute we get this, our priorities change. If we are living for the kingdom's yeast, our priorities change. And not because they just do. Nothing is coincidental with God. They have to change. You can't have a set priority list outside of the kingdom of God. As I start to understand this more, my heart this week starts to see, even as a business owner, I want to start looking for every opportunity of opening the door to others so that they can experience the kingdom of God. I want to do it with every team member. I want to do it with every single client. I want to do it with my suppliers. Obviously, we have that general kind of cover over, I'm a born-again believer. That's great. What does that mean? That's lovely. What does that mean? Permeate them. Get into their lives. Nothing says that you can't have your client over for dinner in your home. Be a bit weird at first, but you'll get over it. Because it will be very, very quick before they notice that you live for the kingdom. And I can just imagine that impact. I'll try it. I'll let you know how it goes. All right. I'll start with my key account and I'll let you guys know how it goes. Similarly, with our life group. I mean, guys, the guys that lead life groups would know this. We host it every Wednesday night. And one of the primary reasons we chose the home that we're living in right now was right at the top of the priorities list in choosing the home was that the lounge area and our hosting area would host well and would be able to facilitate a healthy life group every single Wednesday night. Got to look at your home. Got to look at how you can get the lost into your home. If you are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in you, guess what? You host. It's a principle in the Bible. It's what the Lord says to us. If you are in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is in you, get ready to host. Get ready to host in the church. Get ready to host in your home. What people see in you and I are what they see in the kingdom of God. What people see us doing is what they see of the kingdom of God. What differentiates us? 12 cases of beer or no beer? Because that's not a priority in the kingdom of God. Backdoor deals or upfront honest transactions? Because that's the kingdom of God. What's that differentiating factor in our lives, in our homes, in our businesses? What people see you doing is what they see of the kingdom of God. What a pressure. Doesn't mean that we've got to brass our shoes every morning or polish our shoes every morning, make sure that we look perfect. Nobody's perfect. But what they see us doing is what they see of the kingdom of God. Do our homes represent the truth of the kingdom? Yo. Does our fellowship with one another demonstrate the life of the kingdom? Yo. I see some kind of fellowship that kind of gives you a bit of a chill. It's not great. You've got to represent your fellowship well. Why? People are watching. People are seeing that fellowship. Oh, that's how Christians fellowship. That's how the kingdom of God fellowship with one another. Sure. Do they talk to each other like that all the time? Or they're just joking? The joy of the kingdom. Where's that in our lives? Hey, I walk in here sometimes on a Sunday morning. We don't ask people to fake it. There's genuine sorrow sometimes, so hear my heart here. But wow, sometimes there's no joy on some people's faces. And you've got to see it sometimes from an external party's perspective. Can you imagine a lost person comes into our meetings and they see no joy? Why would you want to be part of this kingdom? There's nothing there that actually makes me want to join. And it's not a membership, but where's the joy gone? So, part of our fellowship, part of the kingdom, let's have fun together. Let's have fun with one another, guys. We can't do this thing too seriously. Look how creative God is. You just have to take a walk through any one of our botanical gardens. You'll see how creative God is. Just have to close your eyes and listen to the still voice in your heart during worship, and you'll see how much fun you can have with the Lord. There's seasons for mourning. I get that. There's seasons for joy. I get that. There's seasons of play together. We've got to play together. Play in your life groups. Have play dates with one another. So, what am I saying here? Fish will jump into a boat if they can see that you're passionate about the kingdom. We want to get more fish in the boat. Show them that it's cool to be in the kingdom. Paul writes in Galatians 5 to a number of the early churches, picking up from verse 13. If you've got your Bibles with you. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Beautiful. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love each other. Be with one another. Let the kingdom yeast permeate within our homes. Permeate in our relationships with one another. You see, I feel that when we allow the kingdom to come into our lives, honestly, when we allow the Lord's activeness in our lives, we change our mindset. Or should I rather say our mindset changes. We restructure our lives. Nothing else is a bigger priority for us. The more we find Jesus, the more we fall in love with Jesus as the king ingredient in our lives, we start to hear his heartbeat. We start to hear his heartbeat for other people. We start to be reminded of what called us to this amazing love story at the very beginning. It teaches us to work with the living and how to actively wait on the Lord for revelation, for insights. Allow the yeast of the kingdom to permeate in our lives, to shape us, to form us. Just come out of it, another great series. Go back to those notes. Look at the things that are shaping your lives. I watched an incredible video online this week where a baker was explaining what yeast has taught him. It's crazy. He said the most profound thing. Listen to this. Yeast has taught me to watch, be patient, and know the importance of timing. When to just wait and trust the dough is rising without my help, and when to intervene and either divide, shape, fold, or bake the dough further. Yeast changes every day, and you can't take it for granted. The day you think you've got it figured out, the dough's response humbles you with some sort of change that day. How's that, eh? That's the kingdom of God. The baker finished off with this, giving a simple baker's tip. I'm serious, you're going to bake, eh? So next week, I'm going to come in here with a loaf of bread. My boots that are going to impress. Can I do the maybe breaking of the bread? I'll bake the bread for baking of the bread. And we see how it goes. You can be honest with me. Hey, we don't want fake people. We don't want fake people. And then the other thing is I'll try and give you a couple more tips on how it went. So how's this? The baker finishes off with a tip. He says here, just a tip, guys. Whenever you intend baking with active dry yeast, it's a good idea to test to make sure the yeast is still alive. Wow. Are we alive? Are we alive yeast that the Lord can work with? This is a baker. He's telling us, best advice, guys, that I can give you. Make sure that the yeast you're working with is alive. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are his image. As we allow the master baker in our lives to work through our hearts, to work in our lives, a contagious goodness starts to affect the world around us. God takes all the things he made you and me to be, individually, your beautiful personality traits, the incredible talents that you have, the incredible anointing that you have over your life, every single part of you that is so wonderfully, perfectly made in front of the Lord. He takes that and he works it into the kingdom. So we are the yeast of the kingdom. So the yeast is the kingdom in our hearts. Got to make sure that the gifts that are in us are being used, that they're growing us, that we're using them. He starts to build us up. God does it all. But God asks us to make the choice. The kingdom first. Make that choice. Choose to make the yeast of the kingdom the number one choice ingredient in our lives. It's about allowing the kingdom of God to permeate in our hearts. Salvation and our surrender to Christ changes everything, my friends. Progressively giving more and more and more to Jesus. The kingdom is present wherever people allow God to rule in their hearts and minds, says the Erdman's Bible Dictionary. The nature of yeast is to grow and to change wherever it is in contact with ingredients. When we accept Jesus Christ, His grace starts to grow in our hearts. It changes us from the inside out. As the gospel starts to transform our lives, it exerts a convincing influence to the world around us. As we start to reflect the Lord's glory, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, as we start to reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit within us. The parables of the seed from last week and the parable of the yeast from this week work together to reveal the very nature of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a place, a heart, a mind, a home, a church where Jesus is king. Accepting Jesus as king is key in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we wanted to pass back over to you, Brad, but if you wanted to pray, you're welcome. Or I can pray. Cool. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you so much. Stand here with me, Hills. We want to thank you so much, oh God, for your amazing kingdom work within our lives.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for that wonderful day when Hilton accepted Jesus as king. And Lord God, on that day, Lord, you started to do an incredible work in his life. You've taken every aspect of his life, everything that was already there. And Lord God, your yeast has affected him. And your yeast has changed him, oh God. And from a man who, like most of us, before we knew Jesus, was an incredible sinner, Lord, you have made us to be incredible saints.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, it's because of that one work. It's not because of anything that Hilton has done. It's not because of anything that Hilton tried to do better. It's not because of anything like that at all. But it's really because your kingdom, from the outside, of a foreign to our own lives and foreign to our own doings, you, Jesus, coming in from heaven above and breaking into our lives. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to change us.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, even as Hilton has been seeing the beauty of your kingdom, he's been working it into every area of his life, Lord. So you are using him and have given him opportunities to spread that kingdom yeast wherever he goes. And today there's maybe some of us that are in this place, and somebody here who's been living a life that's far from God, that has been living a life that has got actually none of the real godly aspect in it. There's no real kingdom in your life. There's no real yeast in your life. There's nothing making you better and better and more like Jesus. What you're going through is actually making you despise the things of the earth and the things of yourself and all these things. And today, Jesus wants to come into your heart and life. And Lord, we want to pray that in this place, if there be anybody here who's lived a lackluster life, a cracker bread kind of life, without any aroma, without any freshness, without any increase, without any life. Today, that as you accept Jesus, as you say, I want to make you king, just that decision today is like yeast that would change your entire life.
Amen.
And every decision from then on, little by little by little, is mixed into the entire dough. Where God would use you and begin to set you up to preach messages like this, to tell others, to have run businesses, but to have a yeast that infects it and changes it and affects it for greater glory and for greater destiny and for things that are far greater than just this earth. Lord, I pray that in this place you would lift people up to see you.
Yes, Lord.
See you seated on the throne. And Lord God, as we accept you, we would start to see our lives changed and the lives around us changed in a mighty and wonderful way.
Yes,
if you're in this place and you want kingdom yeast in your life, you want Jesus in your life. If you're in this place and you haven't accepted Jesus, just one decision today will start to change your entire life from this moment forward. This is a moment where your life can be completely changed.
Thank you, Lord.
If you want that kingdom yeast in you right here today, will you put up your hand?
Yes, Lord.
That's you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You two ladies. Thank you so much, gentlemen over there. Anybody else on that side over there? Was there a hand there? I want to ask you, if you put up your hand, won't you please come forward? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that God would do a work within you. Come, please, ladies. I'm so grateful. Guys, won't you just applaud the people that are making this decision today? Is that you, Michelle? My Lord, that is wonderful. Come. Anybody else? I'd love some faithful Christians just to come around these people. Some deacons, please, if you could come around. I want to pray for you. I want you to know that just this decision today, just what you're doing here today, you boldly stepped in and you said, I need a bit of that yeast, right? It's Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, come into my heart and change my life. You are powerful, and I trust in you. Thank you that you are alive and that you will do amazing things in me. Thank you that you save me. And from this day forward, I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive every one of these people of their sins. And today, as your Spirit touches their lives, you will increase in them in a mighty and wonderful way. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Fuck, there's some folk who just want to speak with you. So I'm going to invite you just to follow. Who's follow Hilton? Follow Hilton, and he's just going to share some things with you. And God bless you. Chris is going to share the announcements with us this morning. And guys, isn't it wonderful, guys? Give them a round of applause. Make them feel good. I mean, that's a great thing that's taking place here.
Morning, church. Good morning. Are we alive? Are we alive? Come on. How many of you know that prayer is powerful? Yes? Okay, so I want to see all of you on Wednesday at the Crossing Church at 7 o'clock for what we call the gathering. We're going to come and we go.